वायुना यदतिष्ठतः वायुना यदधिष्ठितः पद्ममं पश्च तत्काल कृतवीर्येण कम्पितम् तद्विलोक्याब्जसम्भूतो वायुना यदधिष्ठितः पद्ममं पश्च तत्काल कृतवीर्येण कम्पितम् Tadvilokya, looking into that, Abjasambhutaha, whose source of birth was a lotus, Vayuna, by the air, Yat, that, Adishtitaha, on which he was situated, Padmam, lotus, Ambaha, water, Cha, also, tat kala krita, which was affected by eternal time, viryena, by its inherent force, kampitam, trembling. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thereafter, Brahma saw that both the lotus on which he was situated and the water on which the lotus was growing were trembling due to a strong, violent wind. Purport. The material world is called illusory because it is a place of forgetfulness of the transcendental service of the Lord. Thus one engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the material world may sometimes be very much disturbed by awkward circumstances. There is a declaration of war between the two parties, the illusory energy and the devotee. And sometimes the weak devotees fall victim to the onslaught of the powerful illusory energy. Lord Brahma, however, was sufficiently strong by the causeless mercy of the Lord. And he could not be victimized by the material energy, although it gave him cause for anxiety when it managed to totter the existence of his position. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhuvan Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakkata Makhyam Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashavano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanam ಪಾವನೆಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ಐ ವುಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ರೆಸ್ ಮೈ ಡೀಪ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಟ್ಯೂಡ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರುಮೆಂಟಲ್ ಇನ್ ಬ್ರಿಂಗಿಂಗ್ ಮೀ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈ ಫರ್ಗೆಟ್ಫುಲ್ನೆಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್ ಹಿಯರ್. ಸೊ ಮಿಲಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ವಾಂಡ್ರಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಫರ್ಗೆಟ್ಫುಲ್ನೆಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಆಫ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಸ್ whom we come across in our life, at one point of time, they wake us up as if from a deep sleep and engage us in the path of devotional service. So, that is the most glorious point in our life. It is not just this life, in millions of lives. So, happy birthday to you. People sing, real happy birthday is waking up in Krishna consciousness. That is the real birthday. That is why Dvija, second birth is mentioned. The father gives a Shaukra, seminal birth. But spiritual father gives a spiritual birth, which is actually the real waking up, a real birth of the living entity sojourn in this material world. There's a saying, God gives, gives, and forgives. We get, get, and forget. So, we are, the living entities in the material world are very expert in forgetfulness of all the wonderful gifts they have received. So, here, the highlight point of this purport is, Brahma, while sitting on the lotus, observed that suddenly there is a violent wind that was blowing, making the lotus move hither and thither like this. And the waters were also rising high, violently, causing him fear. But by the Lord's grace, Brahma was not subjected to any kind of illusion or lamentation or fear. And he could sustain his Krishna consciousness and continue his meditation on the Lord. And that is actually the situation of one even who is taking to Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, even though one may take to Krishna consciousness, the world around, the environment around is not a very favorable environment in the material world, which always agitates the mind and senses of the practitioner externally and internally. Just like sometimes you see an ant finding fire on one side of the log of wood, wants to escape from the other side, but he finds both sides there is fire. So in the same manner, there is fire inside, fire outside. There is a sense objects are subjecting the senses to turbulence externally. And internally there are material desires which are constantly tormenting the living entity, pushing the living entity to act in the wrong direction. That is why the discussion about Siddha Prajna in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is very valuable. Though there is a very vivid description about how a self-realized person should live in this world. Like he says, how does he speak? How does he sit? How does he walk? Although it appears that it is talking about the self-realized person walks very slowly or sits very comfortably or speaks very gravely. That may be externally possible, but what it is talking about is how is he sit means situated in this world of senses and sense objects. Even though he has senses, how does he not wrongly use them? or how does he rightly use them? Or similarly, how does he talk? Means when people show him love and affection, or people show him anger and insult, how does he respond to the external stimuli? How does he talk? How does he sit? How is he situated? Okay, he may put himself in a jungle where nobody can disturb him. There is no any scent of sense gratification anywhere in the neighborhood. We have our experience when we go for preaching to students. Those colleges which are in remote places where there is no pubs and bars and permit rooms and cinema theaters and clubs, like we used to go to IIT Kharagpur. So it's in a remote place, it's a village. So people don't have much sense gratification. Even if they come out, occasionally they find a goat walking. You know? Occasionally they see some crow sitting in a tree and crowing. So when they come out of the college, there is nothing. It's all a village. So when we went and opened a center, boys came running, something new happening. So then chanting, dancing, and everything, they participated and they could become nice devotees. On the other hand, when you are in the heart of the city, where there is a blasting rock music, where there are huge billboards, like big rakshasas, without seeing me, you cannot escape. Like that, isn't it? On the road, such a huge size, mega size billboards. And wherever you turn around, men, women, poised for sense gratification, people carrying their suitcases and running here and there with a greedy mentality to make a lot of money. In such an environment surcharged with ambition for sense gratification, the whole ether is polluted with lust, greed and anger and envy and competitive mentality. So in such a place, how does a person sit? How does a person sit means, okay, he may be sitting calmly and chanting, but what is happening inside? His heart. Is his heart able to concentrate on the holy name? Or is he making some sense gratification program even while externally wearing the dress, garb of a sadhu and internally contemplating on something else? So that is, how does he sit? How does he sit? How does he speak? How does he walk? That's actually the meaning of that. So the answers Lord Krishna gave are very, very valuable for practicing sadhakas, that a practicing sadhaka should control his senses like tortoise, he says. Control doesn't mean like what Gandhi thought of sense control. You know, brahmat dekho, brahmat suno, brahmat bolo. Close your eyes, close your ears and close your mouth. That is not controlling the senses. Like controlling a car doesn't mean you stop the car and park it in the side and you decide not to travel anymore. Controlling the car means you drive the car, at the same time control the steering in such a way that there will be no accident. Or we will not break the signal. And the car will be proceeding towards the destination. Similarly, controlling the senses means don't misuse them, but use them rightly to attain the ultimate destination of, you know, service to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is why the example of tortoise is given. Tortoise, it withdraws the senses while there is danger. And then when there is no danger, it is progressive. You know, slowly moves ahead, goes ahead. So he says, Kurmongani vasarvashaha, he says. So like a tortoise, we should be progressive also. And also he says, that tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi asyendriyani tasya prajna pratishthita. Such a person's intelligence is considered fixed. Who knows these two things? To withdraw the senses from wrong engagements and at the same time know how to properly engage the senses in Krishna consciousness. Yukta asita matparaha, Krishna is saying, in him, in Krishna. So, one who is doing it honestly, not just as an external show, but as a genuine practitioner, such a person very soon will lose taste for sense gratification. Actually, if somebody, just like children also, sometimes are given a test. There is a test which was conducted by Stanford University for a group of children who are all just 6-7 year old children. So the teacher would come to one room, one child was kept, and she would keep a cake in the front and say that if you wait for me to come back again to give you a second cake, then you will get a second one. I'll go to all the classes, all the rooms, and then you will get a second cake. Otherwise, if you are too greedy to eat it now, you can eat this one cake. So you have the choice. So many of the children, they took a video also. They found that the children are, most of the children couldn't restrain themselves to say no to it. Rather, they, after some, sooner or later, they ended up eating it. And some children tolerated patiently, some children tolerated reluctantly. But all the children who tolerated, they all had the end goal in their mind. They had the end goal that at the end I will get two if I wait for some time. Just like if you show a chocolate in one hand and 1,000 rupee note in another. What do you think children will choose? Chocolate, because immediately you can eat it. Whereas in 1,000 rupee note, there are 1,000 chocolates. So this is prayas, this is shreyas. So most people in this world are like foolish, naughty children. So they choose prayas. They go for one chocolate only. They want some instant pleasure. Instant idli, instant gulab jamun. Instant sense gratification also. Which is followed by suffering. So Krishna says that intelligent people are those who know that the instant pleasures are not long-lasting. So one has to be patient. And those who are patient, prasadamadi gacchati, he says. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayanindriyascharan atma vashyair vidheyatma prasadamadi gacchati, he says. So the prasad or the mercy of the Lord comes to those who patiently persist. And during that stage of patiently persisting, one will not be free from temptations. Because one, Prabhupada says, danger must be there because we have put ourselves in a dangerous position. This sentence Prabhupada writes in Kunti Maharani's one of the purports. What he says? Danger must be there because we have put ourselves in a dangerous position. So, sometimes you find a deer is running with a group of deers, but suddenly the deer develops a greed that there is a pond of water, I can go and drink water there. And the other deer say, this is a new pond, we don't know, strange place, better we all go and drink in our regular place. But sometimes the pond, the deer is too greedy. He says, you all go ahead, I will come. So when he goes to drink the water, generally the tigers also hide themselves behind a bush near the pond of water only. And you know the reason why. Because they know deers will come there and they can attack very easily, isn't it? So when a deer goes astray separately, then it becomes a victim of the tiger. That is why when one is in the society of Vaishnavas, when one is flowing with all the Vaishnavas, then one is very protected in the shelter of Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. And Prabhupada made this big society, such a beautiful society where we can mutually give protection and inspiration for one another and go on with our Krishna consciousness. Even in a world of dangers and temptations and all kinds of allurements, one can go on and on. But if one goes astray, one wants to be independent, one doesn't want to hear, one doesn't want to serve, one doesn't want to associate, then the result would be that one becomes an easy victim of Maya, like that. So, just like sometimes you see a group of birds who got stuck in a net, but when they all flew together, they could lift the net itself and fly up. So that is why it is said in Kali Yuga, the Shakti comes from the Sangha. Of devotees, when they come together, discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, when they sing, when they chant, when they associate. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says association is not two people traveling in the same boat, or association is not two people washing clothes in the same ghat. Like that he says, I think he must have given these examples because in Navadvip and other places ghats are there and people travel in boats in Bengal. So that is not association. Association actually is Kuhyamakyati Prichati, where one devotee asks question, another devotee answers based on his realization. Yeah, experienced devotee answers, and a genuine questioner or a jignasu asks questions. And in this exchange, Krishna manifests himself in the heart of both the devotees and lifts up the heart of both the devotees with enlightenment and joy, both. Just like when you take two aranyak sticks and you rub them, immediately there is a fire that comes between them. So one aranyak stick is the guru, one is a disciple. This example is given in Bhagavatam. When they both come together, when the guru is potent with spiritual wisdom and the disciple is having a fertile heart of receptive heart, then there is an enlightenment which gives joy to both. It gives joy to guru that the disciple is learning and growing, and it gives joy to disciple that now I am taking one forward step in knowledge and understanding. I am being brought one step closer to Krishna, so the disciple feels great joy also. In this way, by proper and regular and right association, one actually makes a very swift progress in understanding and realization. And that is actually the medicine for forgetfulness. That's actually the right medicine, that kind of awakening of spiritual knowledge. And you will find the Vedic literature, they abound with teachings, practices, behavior, a whole culture which is centered around a strong facility for remembrance of the Supreme Lord. Recently I was in Udupi for the Yatra. Early morning, almost 3:50, we heard a sound. Like that. Dun, 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 dun. It was appearing as if big army is coming, and they play this one, this shanai kind of thing. They play, and then there are, what do you call that? Saxophone, huh? They were playing that, and then, dun, 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 that kind of sound. So, when I heard the sound attentively, it resembled the Jagannath Rath Yatra also, where they play like this. There also, what do you call that? Gongs they play. So immediately I realized that this is Lord Dwarakadish coming. Dwarakadish is actually the king of Dwaraka, along with his army of people, with soldiers and foot soldiers and elephant soldiers and rathis also, chariots and everything. So the Lord is the protector of his devotees. So in the same manner in Jagannath Puri also, in the Rath Yatra you will find when they play, when Lord Jagannath comes to the Gundicha temple, that's a very beautiful incident to watch. Krishna and Balaram, accompanied by their Subhadra in the center, they're coming in the chariot with big, big mukuts which they put on their forehead. And when he enters into Gundicha temple, which is Vrindavan, so some of the pandas, they break that mukut also. Which is a Raja Mukut. They say, enough of your Dwaraka Vesh now. Now we'll put a turban for you now. They put a turban. Of course, that is very delicately made. By the time he enters Gundicha temple, his mukut is gone already. Only he goes with the turban only inside. They put a peacock feather and take him inside, rather than being a king of Dwaraka. He'll be offered a flute and peacock feather when he enters into Gundicha temple. So, When Lord is marching on the rath along with all this procession with such sounds, so as soon as you hear the sound, immediately you are reminded of who is coming. Just like if some Mughals are coming and attacking, there are some army sounds and everything, immediately you understand. Similarly, when the Lord is attacking Kalayavana, Lord is attacking Jarasandha, our Lord is assisting the Pandavas in the Kurukshetra battlefield. So even in a battlefield, a devotee can relish Krishna consciousness because Krishna is the center of that battle. So devotees don't study about Battle of Panipat, you know, World War I or World War II. Devotees are interested in Kurukshetra battle where Krishna is present. Because anything that can lead us to remembrance of Krishna. So that means even a war sound can remind a devotee of Krishna. You can see that. That is why this is the Vedic life. What to speak of the most holiest of the things we do. If war sound can help us remember Krishna, what to speak of the more much more holy things we do. When Vidura saw the chakra on the top of Gopuram, immediately remembered, oh, this is the temple of Chakri. Who is Chakri? Lord Vishnu. He is calling wielder of chakra. So immediately on the spot he fell on the ground and offered obeisances. So by seeing the chakra, even Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur, you can see the chakra of Purushottam Jagannath temple, and that is as good as seeing Jagannath himself. So these are sights. First I was telling about sounds. So the sounds, the sights also, like when you go on Harinam, we carry different symbols of tilak and shank, sometimes picture of Prabhupada, sometimes picture of Radha Krishna murtis and all that. When His Holiness Vishnujan Swami Maharaj used to take a Harinam Sankirtan in NY temple in those days, actually there used to be no announcement also. As soon as the Kirtan starts, the whole temple would come running. 60, 80 devotees would want to go with him. The president will have a big problem because there will be nobody available for service. Even those who had service, they would tell the president that, please allow us to go for Harinam Sankirtan, we will come back and then we will do the service. Everybody wanted to go. So when he would do Harinam, he would take out Harinam to the streets and they would be singing so melodiously, dancing so gracefully, and all devotees carrying different symbols like that. And then they would go to a particular spot where the devotees make a big circle, and around them there will be lots of people coming and watching the kirtan. So sometimes devotees would do 6-hour kirtan in a day, the daytime they would do. Of course, they may not do continuously. They may do for about half an hour or 45 minutes. And then the devotees would all sit. And all around, there are so many men, women, scantily dressed, improperly dressed. Some of them smoking, drinking also. How would the devotees not get disturbed? So the devotees say that there used to be different symbols. There will be Prabhupada picture, there will be Radha Krishna picture, there will be Tilak picture, carrying different symbols. There is a flag with Garuda, there is a flag with Hanuman, isn't it? So whenever they would see, you see Maya, you see something connected to Krishna also. And you are reminded, hey, this is Maya, this is Krishna, take shelter of Krishna. That is why the sounds and sights are very important. And then devotees would be served with some juice. Again they would get up and do Harinam Sankirtan. So even while dancing in the roads, when devotees are passing, our mind can space out and look at different sides of the big shopping malls and supermarket and everything. Different people passing by. Who is thinking what about me? Do they all recognize and appreciate our ISKCON movement? Or are they thinking that we Hare Krishnas are a bunch of fools? Those two fellows are talking, are they ridiculing me? Or are they glorifying us? So these kind of thoughts come in the mind of a person who is in bodily consciousness. But one who is into it means one who is into the Harinam, hearing the sound vibration very attentively, all he sees is wherever he turns around, he sees only opportunity for Krishna consciousness. He may take a prasadam packet and throw, Prabhu, take it, Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. He may give a book to somebody, prasad to somebody, inspire some child to join, inspire a boy to join the dancing. So that is why the holy names are performed very vibrantly by very sincere devotees whose hearts are simple like children, who are free from the material designations, whose only goal of life is serving the lotus feet of Krishna only. Then Sahaja devotees and the holy name springs from the heart of, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the holy name springs from the heart, permeates the entire body and consciousness and dances in the tongue of a sincere chanter. And that is a helpless, loud cry coming from the heart of a devotee. And that actually can penetrate the shell of the universe and even Brahma Jyoti and enter into the spiritual sky, as when Advaita Acharya Prabhu did that. So, in this way, the loud chanting of the holy name and the spiritual sights can keep a devotee posted in the Vaikuntha platform, even in the material world. Even while we are in the walking on a busy, busy, materialistic road, where everybody is poised for sense gratification. And that is the way to preach, actually. That is the way the devotee's lifestyle can positively influence the lifestyle of the materialistic masses. Srila Prabhupada, when he put his foot in America, when he saw the dazzling sense gratification, what came in Prabhupada's heart? He was crying tears. Once when Prabhupada and a few disciples were walking, Prabhupada saw this strobe lights and everything, chaka 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 chaka, with some sound and music and everything. And there were tears gliding in Prabhupada's cheeks. And then the other devotees who were with Prabhupada, they were getting a little disturbed by Maya. Whereas they saw Prabhupada crying. Why Prabhupada is crying, seeing Maya? Prabhupada said, just see how they are royally getting cheated by Maya, Prabhupada said. So Prabhupada felt sorry for others. While the other neophyte devotees, they were getting disturbed by Maya. So this is a good question for us. If we are finding a craving in our heart for carnal pleasures of this material world, how are we going to convince the masses to give up sense gratification and take to Krishna consciousness? Unless our heart delights in the service lotus feet of Krishna, how can we convince anyone else to delight in Krishna service? And that is why Srila Prabhupada took on morning walk, and he would challenge devotees with questions and make them answer. And sometimes he asked very difficult questions which he only could answer. So, a devotee, through the spiritual sound and spiritual sights and spiritual association, positive, effective, pure, right, progressive association, a devotee can come to the platform of constant remembrance of Krishna at every moment. Actually, that kind of constant remembrance of Krishna is also Krishna's gift only. It is not possible artificially. When Krishna sees sincerity in the practice of a devotee, then Krishna gives such kind of remembrance. One instance comes to my mind when in Ramayana, when Hanuman, along with all the other monkeys, of course the leader of the monkeys was Angada. Even Jambavan was there, Tara was also there, many other monkeys were also there. So they all, as they proceeded in a very dry jungle, dry forest, where they were all extremely thirsty and hungry, they thought, we are going to die, because for a long distance there are no edible fruits, and sun is so hot, and there is no water to drink. There doesn't seem to be any body of water at all. When they were all lamenting like this, suddenly they found themselves entering into some woods, some zone, where they were gradually being led into a cave kind of place. And as they entered into the cave, to their great surprise, there they found beautiful, fresh, cooling waters in ponds with lotuses and lilies and swans swimming. And birds were chirping. Such a nice place. They were suddenly taken by surprise how we came here. And then as they proceeded inside, they found trees with innumerable colorful fruits. And they all were jumping to pluck the fruits and eat. And there they found there was one lady sitting there like an ascetic, and with her eyes closed, with great tejas in her body, a halo around her head, sitting and performing meditation. She seemed to be a very powerful mystic yogini. So then she opened her eyes and saw all these monkeys. And then she welcomed them and gave them fruits and berries and beverages to drink and everything, and they all felt very joyful, and she gave them a place to rest. Then she told them that this is Maya's cave, and it was given to one Hema, one Apsara, and she's my friend, she has given it to me to use. So I'm performing my asceticism here. And then she said, all of you be comfortable, you can eat as much as you like here, there is no restriction for you. Immediately monkeys ran here, there and ate as much as they wished. Huh? They enjoyed. And then they spent some time there. And then one day Tara gave a proposal. She told all the monkeys, she called everybody and said, see, anyway we could not find Sita. And if we go back to Sugriva, he is going to kill all of us. It is better for us to just stay in this place and spend out our life happily. You got such a nice facility. And Angada was also foolish. When Angada heard it, that's a good proposal, good suggestion, he said. Then he asked for a vote. All the monkeys raised hand, except one. Who was that? Hanuman. Hanuman saw all of them are being led to a wrong direction. He said, wait a minute. Do you think Sugriva is so foolish? He said, definitely Sugriva will find out where we all are present. If we don't go back and give him information about Sita, then he will send out troops to capture us and kill us. We cannot escape. And also Hanuman said, the nature of sense gratification in this world is that it is short-lived. You can only enjoy for some time. Very soon it will be thwarted. It is not a long-lasting principle. And then if you forget your promise to Ram, to the Lord, there is no greater sin than going back in our words. We have come out on a mission and we cannot afford to forget that mission. If you have taken a mission in the hand, just like, you know, when you take an Olympic torch, you take it and run it to a certain distance and you hand it over. And then somebody takes it and runs further and they hand it over, isn't it? So Guru Parampara is also like that. Knowledge comes from Krishna himself, and the Acharyas have very carefully taken it and handed it over down. Not that we take the torch and after some we keep it somewhere and go to sleep. Cannot do that. We have to pass down the mission. Until we go back to Godhead, we cannot afford to become forgetful. The mission should be accomplished. So Hanuman reminded all of them. After hearing Hanuman, all of them also felt, you know, sympathy for Ram. Ram has lost his wife. It's our duty to find. Ram has requested Sugriva, and Sugriva is our king. And what are we doing? Then they all got up and they said, Hanuman, you are really intelligent. Thank you for waking us up and reminding us of our duty. And then Swami Prabhu arranged for all of them to come out of the cave after that. They proceeded with their duty. So in this way, we can see that forgetfulness is not a very amazing thing in this world. Sugriva himself had become forgetful because of Bhog Vilas. After becoming the king, people become drunken by intoxication of you know, petty pleasures in this world. People can become kamanda, people can become dhananda, people can become different type of anda. Anda actually means blind, and blind means forgetfulness. Can become very easily in this world. So the prayer of a devotee is actually, even when Chatushkumaras had spelled out a curse on Jaya Vijay at once fell at their feet, clasping their feet, they cried out tears, offering a prayer. They said, O great Brahmanas, since you have spelled out a curse, we don't want to request you to take back the curse. We are willing to accept the curse, but we only have one request to you. Please bless us that even though we may become asuras in the material world, even for a moment, let us not forget the lotus feet of Supreme Lord Vishnu. When we are wandering in different species of life, we don't know what punishments we are going to undergo. But in all those punishments, let us never forget the lotus feet of the Lord. This is our only prayer to you, they said. Mukunda Murdhna Pranipatya Yache Bhavantame Kantamiyantamartham Avismatisvacharana Aravinde Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat. O Lord Mukunda, I bow down my head at your lotus feet and offer you this prayer that birth after birth, even for a moment, let me never forget you. Let me not forget you. Avismati Tacharana Aravinde. Let me always remember you, like the Kulshekhar is praying. This is actually the prayer of a devotee, to always remember the Supreme Lord. You know, the child in the womb is also praying that, my dear Lord, please release me from this dungeon, like a godown type of place. When I come out, I will serve you. But then when he comes out, he forgets again because of being overpowered by Maya. So many times people ask a question, how did we fall down from the spiritual world into this material world? Even right now we can see a sample of that forgetfulness in us time to time creeping in. And we can even now see a sample of the original rebellion, lack of submission in our hearts. And this lack of submission or rebellion and the intermittent forgetfulness that we experience is actually the cause of our slow progress in Krishna consciousness. So, by giving up any mundane reservations in our mind and heart for surrender, and by liberally coming forward to surrender to the will of Guru and Krishna, and also making a program, effective program, to constantly remember Krishna, one can make a very swift progress by this. By reading the Shastras, like we are talking about child in the womb. Parikshit was also child in the womb. But he never forgot when he came out. He remembered Krishna all through his life till his last breath, and he went back to Godhead. So we have to become Parikshit like child. That type of moment after moment remembrance of Krishna. In fact, just yesterday was the last day of the Kartik month. Kartik ended. So Kartik month is filled with such wonderful transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord to day after day give remembrance for the devotees about his sublime pastimes. One day when Krishna was for the first time as a small baby making an effort to turn around. It's called as Uthana, they call it. Small children, he was about 3 months old. A 3 months old child tries to gradually turn around like this. When he could successfully turn around and started swimming on the ground, you have seen children do that? Swimming, moving their hands and legs. All the elderly gopis, friends of Yashoda, they all cried out in great joy, seeing that the child has successfully turned around now. So that was the day they celebrated the Uthana festival. Yashoda Mai had called for the Brahmanas. Nanda Baba and all the other covered men had arranged a very nice festival. And when all the guests came, Yashoda served them all wonderful prasadam for the Brahmanas and gave them nice clothes and ornaments and gold and cows and charity and everything. And the Brahmanas were chanting the Vedic mantras. And also there were bards and other men who were singers with instruments. They were all singing also in that auspicious occasion. And Yashoda was thinking, if I am going to be caring for this baby Krishna, he will never let me do the household chores. So many of my friends have come. You know, in the Vedic times you will find, during this month, Navaratra month, in South India they keep something called Golu, they call it. Golu is actually a series of steps where they keep from mundane to the spiritual different type of displays. Down you may find some soldier or, you know, some policeman and all those things. When you go up, you find some demigods, Saraswati, Lakshmi and all that. Then when you go above, then you find the Shavataras, you will find. When you go above, then Vishnu will be lying in milk ocean. Then you go above, then there they'll make Vrindavan, where Krishna is dancing with gopis. So they used to make like that. And then ladies would go to invite the other ladies to their homes. When they would come to see every home, they will make different type of arrangements according to the best of their knowledge and intelligence. And some of them would keep a whole hall full of such displays. They will bring dioramas and all from the market and they would do that. And then when the other ladies would come, they would watch, and along with the children would ask the mother, what is this one? Who is that with the lion face? You know, who is that, that, you know, with the monkey face? And that's how the children learn. This is Hanuman, this is Narsingadeva, and all that they learn. When you are small children. And while going, the ladies would give some blouse piece to the other ladies. and kumkum, chandan. Children would ask, what about me? Then they would give some the channa preparation, some kind of eatable, some prasadam, they would give them. So in the Vedic life, this kind of, you will find festivals and events give an opportunity for remembering Krishna also, you see. So Yashoda was thinking, so many ladies have come, I have to attend to them, but this fellow, he is very small, tender, he would be so naughty. So he would be always making sound. So let me put him to sleep. So under a big cart, there was a small cot. So Yashoda went and lied down along with the baby. When the baby sees that right next to me mother is sleeping and her sari is all over my body, and she is enveloping me within her embrace, so Krishna felt so comfortable, as any child would feel in the embrace of the mother. So he was very peacefully, he went to sleep. And this is the style every mother knows how to put a child to sleep. And once Krishna had gone to sleep, Yashoda got up. Now she went out and she became busy with all the ladies. Suddenly Krishna got up. Where is my mother? I don't see her anywhere. And then he saw all the covered men, covered ladies, they were all moving hither and thither, very busily. Brahmanas are chanting Vedic mantras loudly. Music is going on and nobody is attending to Krishna. Has everybody become forgetful of me? And Krishna was loudly crying out, as children would, any child would do. Again they cry like that. That kind of crying also nobody heard. Krishna thought, you are not hearing my loud crying. Now I will create such a scene here which will make you remember me. And then he lifted his toe. In one of the Puranas, Brahmanda Puran, it is mentioned that when Krishna was lifting his lotus feet up, that time one Shakatasura had entered into that big cart, due to his weight, the cart wheel had started sinking. Almost half the wheel was under the ground. And that is how Krishna's tender lotus feet could reach the top. You may wonder, how can such a small child reach the top of the this thing, you know, cart. So as Krishna reached, and he didn't even kick it, he just touched it. The next moment, there was a huge sound. The two wheels of the cart started running in two different directions, and the whole cart was thrown off with all the big vessels made up of different metals. All of them started moving in different directions, producing a huge ringing sound. And all the covered ladies, covered men, everybody wanted to see this wonderful act which has happened there. And they asked all the children, what happened? And all the children said, baby Krishna lifted his foot and touched, and that is how everything happened. And all the elderly gopis laughed. These are little children with little intelligence. What they understand? It's useless to hear anything from them, they thought. So Krishna did not have to extend his feet like Vaman Dev expanded his body. Isn't it? With his little foot, he just has standing. You can see a child's lotus feet is like so pinkish and so tender it is. With that, he just touched it. So, in this way, Krishna brought everybody to that one place where Krishna was in the center and everybody all around him. And now Krishna was smiling very happily. This is what he wanted got accomplished. Because he wanted to make everybody remember him. And always, of course, Vrajabasis every moment remember him. They don't forget him even for a moment. But Krishna performs his pastime to teach us lessons how we should not become forgetful of him even for a moment. So in this purport, in this verse, Brahmaji is sitting on a lotus and there is a wind which is blowing and the whole lotus is moving hither and thither. And there are huge waves rising in the ocean also. But Brahma is very confident that I am taking shelter of Krishna and Krishna is protecting me and I have nothing to fear. And this is an ideal state of consciousness. That even living in the world of allurements and temptations and all kinds of opportunities to forget Krishna, if a devotee persistently continues. Recently I went to this persistent company. So to give a seminar there, while coming back, that person is a very good person, very saintly minded person. He got a chance to go to America and set up a very huge company in America. So he was in two minds. Should I do something for India? Should I do in America? I should go out and do. So many of his friends told him, if you are in India, you can keep the culture of India. And many people from America also will be connecting with your company. And then they may also take to Vedic life. So you do in India. So he started the Persian company in India. So there, in the company, they have put this Bhagirathi. Bhagirathi is Ganga coming. Water is coming down. Tata, 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 water is coming. And then they have put a prayer from the Mahabharata, where it says, oh, great Bhagirathi, just as you are flowing incessantly towards the ocean with no impediments. Similarly, may my mind always in full remembrance flow towards the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Like that, there is a statement which they have put there. So, the name of the company is also Persistent. So, a devotee should be persistent. So, I like that. So, sometimes even in companies, they have something to remind us of the Supreme Lord. Even in such a place, I was very happy to see that. So, similarly, as we proceed in our life, one has to keep reminding oneself. One should not become forgetful of forgetfulness. Because generally what happens, people even become forgetful that I am forgetful also. And that is the stage where one delights in Maya. Otherwise one cannot delight. Maya actually is equivalent to suffering. How can one delight? So in case one has become forgetful of forgetfulness, the only thing is one has to become attracted to association. Because in association one will become reminded what is Maya, what is Krishna, and how we can be awake. So Brahma is also portraying the role of a sadhaka devotee. He is the first created living being and one of the first gurus in our whole sampradaya. So from him we can learn this wonderful aspect of remembering the Supreme Lord and taking his shelter in all walks of life. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki.